705 South Broadway. Hometown service, convenience, and free local delivery. Shop the new Postal Annex at Portland Prescription Shop, offering U.S. Postal Service, FedEx, and UPS mailing and shipping.
Sumner Regional Medical Center believes that every person has the right to dignity, respect, and compassion as we journey through the cycle of life. That's why they have created High Point Hospice. Our team of doctors, nurses, hospice aides, social workers, chaplains, and volunteers will walk by your side, offering support, providing symptom management, and answering questions to bring comfort and peace to you and your loved ones. For more information about High Point Hospice, call 328-6690.
Music, news, talk, and sports. WQKR Portland, 1270 AM and 101.7 FM.
While the hosts and guests on this program are encouraged to express their views, they do not necessarily reflect those of the ownership or management of WQKR.
Good afternoon, Sumner County. Welcome to The Loyal Opposition, a show based on the American ideal that nations like ours benefit when government reflects a diversity of voices and makes room for dissent. That's why we're here, to air the voice of dissent to the supermajority's policies and ideas. I am your host, Len Asante. It is 70 degrees at 5:01 p.m. here on a beautiful sunny day in downtown Portland, Tennessee. We are heading down to a low of 51 degrees tonight, partly cloudy with a high of 71 for your Thursday, low of 43 Thursday night. Sunset today is at 7:28 p.m. Wow, days are getting longer. Days are getting longer. All right, on today's show, we're going to talk about some goings-on in the Tennessee State Legislature, and then we're going to head home closer to home with our guest today. Sumner County Mayor John Isbell, and he is already with us. So good afternoon, Mayor Isbell. How you doing?
Good afternoon, Lynn.
Hey, we'll be hearing a lot from the mayor coming up shortly. All right. First off, the news. All right, four stories for us to talk about today. I do want to spend as much time as possible with our mayor, so we're gonna run through these pretty quick, so sit on down and hold on tight. All right, number one, some good news from the progressive side of the House. On Friday, workers at Chattanooga's Volkswagen plant voted by a 3-to-1 ratio to unionize through the United Auto Workers, making it the first automotive plant to unionize in the South by election since the 1940s. This came despite Tennessee Republicans, including Governor Bill Lee, U.S. Senator Bill Hagerty, and Hamilton County Mayor Weston Womp, going all out to persuade workers not to unionize. Gallup, the gold standard in nonpartisan issue analysis, has for the last 2 years reported polls showing increasing support for unions and approval for unions at its highest level since 1935. Some labor advocates suggest that the UAW win in Chattanooga might lead to future unionization efforts at other auto plants in the Southeast. Item number two, voucher scheme dead for the year, but it will be back. Governor Bill Lee declared this week his voucher scam is dead for the year. Local leaders, educators, and families across the state dealt a fatal blow to the governor's signature legislation for 2024, showing that democracy can still sometimes prevail, even in a state gerrymandered by the controlling party to produce legislative victories. Though details varied among the various proposals, every version of the voucher scheme would have used public education funding to subsidize tuition at private schools, primarily for the benefit of families who already use private schools. The private schools would be unaccountable to taxpayers and could reject any student who applied. Governor Lee argued that he's disappointed in this because Tennesseans want school choice, even though no polling I've seen supports that assertion, and over 50 local governments and local school boards in the state passed resolutions opposing the measures. Now, that would include the Sumner County School Board, which did pass a similar resolution. Hey, on the bad news front, however, guns in schools, 1 year after the 2023 session and special session ended without meaningful gun safety reform, more than 571 people have died from gunshot wounds, including 56 children in Tennessee. Additionally, 1,131 people have been injured by gunfire, including 122 children. That's about 22 people getting shot and 11 people dying by gunfire each week in the state. And that every person who dies from a gunshot wound is a child. Republicans in the Tennessee General Assembly have for over a decade used their power mostly to loosen gun laws. For instance, allowing guns in trunks and vehicles for any gun owner, guns in parks, open carry without a permit or background check. And now, this week, making it legal for teachers to be armed in schools. Gun lobby-backed legislators promised that more guns carried by more people in more places would make us safer. However, the statistics say otherwise. Tennessee ranks first in the South for violent crime and third in the nation, according to FBI crime data from last year. Tennessee ranks seventh in the nation for homicides committed with a firearm and fifth in the nation for firearm homicides for children, according to the Centers for Disease Control. Gunshot wounds are the leading cause of death for children in Tennessee, according to state reports. And Tennessee ranks fourth in the nation for unintentional shootings involving children. To restore public safety and address Tennessee's gun violence crisis, Democratic lawmakers have proposed a variety of solutions, every single one of which has been defeated by the Republican supermajority. Finally, the new law that has yet to be signed by the governor, but is expected that he will do so, the new law does not allow parental notification if their child's teacher or if for any teacher in that school is armed. In addition, school resource officers who are in every school or almost every school would not know who is permitted to carry in schools. Personally, folks, I can't see this working out well. Folks, adhering to the spirit of the Second Amendment does not mean we have to have all guns everywhere all the time. There are no absolute rights. You all know that I'm a big Second Amendment guy. I own a large collection of firearms. But I do think when it comes to public safety, reasonable laws do make sense in certain cases. And I don't think the current law that's about to be signed by the governor is reasonable. All right. And finally, we've got flags in schools because, you know, the legislature likes to focus on the big issues affecting us all. All right, a bill designed to ban LGBTQ plus pride flags in Tennessee public school classrooms was spiked on Tuesday after it failed to attract enough support in the Republican-controlled state Senate. The proposal had easily cleared the House nearly 2 months prior, after the bill's sponsor said that he had had parents complain to him about quote-unquote political flags in the classroom. However, the proposal dragged in the Senate as lawmakers debated possible changes and delayed debating the measure up until the final week of this year's legislative session. Quote, there were some parents in my district that felt like there were flags being displayed in the public school classroom that did not coincide with their values and felt like their children should not be indoctrinated in the schools, said Republican Senator Joey Hensley. Senator Hensley's definition of indoctrination and political are obviously different from that of most of us, including this commentator right here. Good riddance to this unconstitutional assault on our First Amendment rights. However, like vouchers, I believe it will be back. All right. When we come back, we're going to take our first break. And I just made Roger jump because he was unexpected seeing the first break coming so soon. But hey, I got through pretty quick. When we come back, we're going to be speaking with Sumner County Mayor John Isbell. You are listening to the Loyal Opposition and your incoherent host, Len Asante, here on WQKR Portland.
The Sumner County Anti-Drug Coalition, an organization dedicated to ending drug abuse, is now the Sumner Prevention Coalition. But their goal is the same, helping Sumner County residents with drug abuse problems turn their lives around and get on the road to recovery. Their mission is to unite people with vision, commitment, and resources to provide solutions to eliminate substance abuse and make a difference for youth, families, and individuals in Sumner County. The coalition and its staff of experienced professionals in the field envision a healthy, safe, and thriving community, free from substance abuse of all kinds, tobacco use, prescription drug abuse, and underage drinking. Find out how the Sumner Prevention Coalition can help you, and you can help the coalition. Visit them online at sumnercoalition.org. That's sumnercoalition.org.
At the Law Office of Amanda J. Gentry, we are committed to defending your rights. We have a team committed to helping you navigate the court system, whether you've been accused of a crime or you're going through a messy divorce in custody. Call our team to help you navigate this system. We are here to protect your rights, to demand your rights, to enforce your rights. 615-604-6263. 615-604-6263. AmandaJGentry.com.
Christmas is coming, and Graphic Obsessions is your small-town Christmas wonderland. Shop our trees for personalized ornaments. See the new infant section, plus our women's area with Wrangler tote bags, purses, wallets, and belt bags. Graphic tees for the whole family. We embroider, screen print, and laser engrave to make it oh so personal. Graphic Obsessions is open Tuesday through Friday, 9 to 5, and late till 7 on Thursdays, plus Saturdays from 10 to 1. Shop early and shop in your hometown.
Portland is pleased to welcome Cole Lumber Company to our business community. They will now be this area's leading supplier of building materials. Operating since 1946, Cole Lumber, with their 7 Kentucky locations, has selected Portland as their first operation in Tennessee. And we are glad to have them here. Cole is 100% employee-owned. It is their goal to provide all of their customers with both quality building materials and friendly service. From a staff that is both knowledgeable and experienced, serving the needs of both contractors and homeowners, from building a dream home to a weekend project, Cole Lumber has the knowledge, experience, and materials to help you. No matter what you want or need, visit Cole Lumber Company, 462 North Broadway in Portland.
Welcome back, everyone. You're listening to The Loyal Opposition with your host, Len Asante, here on WQKR, Portland, Tennessee's radio station. We are here this afternoon with John Isbell, the mayor of Sumner County. How you doing this afternoon, sir?
I'm doing great, Len.
Excellent. We're talking about how it's important to have a good sense of humor during these trying times, so hopefully we'll get a laugh or two out of the show this afternoon. Folks, if you are interested in asking the mayor a question, our text-in phone number is 516-440-6310. That is 516-440-6310. If you send us a text and we have time, we will try to get your question on the air. All right. Well, Mayor, welcome to the show. Why don't we start off by telling our listeners a little bit about yourself, how you came to be the Sumner County mayor?
Sure. You know, it's... I've been a resident of Sumner County since 1976. Moved here. My father was transferred with the Tennessee Highway Patrol, where he finished out his career in Nashville. And we chose Sumner County, Hendersonville, as our home. Went to public schools, on to MTSU to get my bachelor's and master's. And
where'd you go to high school?
I went to Beach High School.
Beach High School, okay.
Second graduating class when they first opened. Mr. Hyde was my principal. And to this day, even though he is the commission chair right now, I still call him Mr. Hyde.
Mr. Hyde.
Out of respect. But yeah, I went on to MTSU, and I'm currently finishing up, hopefully eventually, my PhD in public policy, which is a lot of fun, a lot of challenges. But, you know, back in 2000 is when I decided to enter the political realm, ran for assessor property loss, ran for county commission, served a couple of years on county commission where I got a good overview of how the commission works, and then came back and ran for assessor. Served 18 years.
And wow, enjoyed, really? 18 years?
Enjoyed my tenure as assessor. We'll probably talk about reappraisal here in a few minutes.
Yes, we will.
but I thoroughly enjoyed my my opportunity to serve as assessor. And for the last year and a half, I've been blessed to serve as the county mayor.
All right. John, you and I go way back, back before your politics times. You were the director for the Leadership Sumner program, and I went through that program back in 2002, something like that.
I think
that.
It was 01, 02,
something like that. A long time ago. Let's put it that way. A long time ago. John has been subject to a lot of leadership training over the years and has provided leadership training to many people over the years. All right. Mr. Mayor, so what's going on in Sumner County? Can you give us kind of a little mini state of the county kind of address? What's happening?
You know, there is a lot going on. Probably the biggest thing going on right now is getting our courthouse open.
Mm. Yeah, what's the latest on the courthouse?
So we anticipate starting to move juvenile in May, middle of May, and then the rest of the courts in thereafter. We got a little bit of a curveball with our governor. Governor appointed a new state judge. So now we are tasked with building out a courtroom for the new judge, which is one would think wouldn't be terribly difficult since we've got the building there. All we have to do is build out one more courtroom.
Right, we have the physical space, right?
We have the space. The office is already built out. The doors into the room and wiring, and everything's ready for that additional courtroom. But as we've seen many times, this is going to be a little more difficult with the county commission than first anticipated. We're going to hit that challenge head on, and hopefully we can get that courtroom started where we can get it built out. I anticipate the judge being there September.
Wow.
So we're going to have to find temporary housing for him at the time till we can get that room built for him. And then on top of that, we've got the parking garage. The parking garage is so important for the citizens of Gallatin in the downtown area. We have reached some challenges with Gallatin Department of Electricity, which I think we've worked those out with Mark and Brandon and that crew. So hopefully we're going to move forward in moving some electrical wiring and get that fixed, and then a stormwater project. And then I think we're going to get the parking garage opened up by June, maybe the latest July. So it,
wow, that's
it
pretty
should,
quick.
It
that's
should quick. Time out with the courthouse pretty close.
Okay.
So we're working hard on that. And, you know, outside of that, we're hitting budget time. So
yeah.
So the focus, I've spoke with the budget chair on several occasions. Our focus right now on this budget is to take care of our employees, focused on retention. And so I think we're going to see some equitable raises for our employees, and also really address the problem we have with EMS, with our paramedics and EMTs. That's a serious situation that's turned into a public safety scenario.
And we think that's primarily because of the salaries that they can make. They can go to other counties and make significantly more money.
Well, when you can go to Davidson County, make 20% more and work
20%.
Less hours, spend more time with your family, it's hard to tell these young people, no, stay in Sumner County just because we like you. They have to provide for their families, and it's, most of that's budget-driven.
All right. That's a lot. You mentioned the budget coming up, which means, of course, having discussions about the tax rate. And, of course, this year things are a little bit different because property tax assessments are starting to be mailed. I just got mine in the mail on Monday, and when I looked, my new appraisal was, $150,000 more than my last one. 5 years ago. So I imagine you've been getting some calls. So the property assessor's office has been getting some calls.
I've been in the property assessor's office several times over the past few days, and they have been very busy. I will I will say this on the onset, please be patient with them. They are answering the phone. They'll call my office and say, why won't the property assessor's office answer the phone? They are answering it. They're doing the very best that they can. If you're able to, head up to the county administration building if you're able to, and just visit them in person. They'd love to talk to you about your valuation. You know, when I got mine, I was the same way as all the other citizens. I about fell out. I went straight upstairs to appeal mine because I thought there is no way that my house is worth this in my little neighborhood until they showed me sales in my neighborhood. Because being out of the assessment business, I just haven't looked at it. And I quickly found out that they were on target with mine. So I did not appeal it. But I will tell you right now, the median increase across the county is 67%.
67%. Wow.
67. So,
and that's from 5 years ago, right?
That is, last one was 2019. So 67%. So if you're above that percentile, that means that you were above the median, because 50% will be above and 50% will be below. What I would do is, if you have any questions about it, I strongly encourage you to reach out to them. They're pleasant to talk to. They'll go over the property record card and make sure they have everything accurate. And then at that point, if you do want to appeal it, just make sure you have your evidence ready. Look at the sales, research that, and be better prepared to talk to them.
All right. And the increase in the value of your property does not automatically mean an increase in your taxes, though, right? Why don't you talk a little bit, take us through how that works.
So what we'll do is, once the County Board of Equalization meets and concludes their business, the state will work with the assessor of property to calculate what they call a certified tax rate. By law, the assessor cannot bring in any more revenue through the reappraisal than last year. So it doesn't mean just because your values go up that your taxes will automatically go up. That value will reset based on that certified tax rate.
So in all likelihood, our new certified tax rate will be lower than the certified tax rate we have now.
Will be significantly lower. Significantly lower, yeah.
And I would guess, based on what I know, the county commission, this is my personal feeling, my personal opinion, is that the county commission is not a group of people likely to raise taxes.
That's a fair assessment.
Okay.
this commission will not raise that certified rate. I'm pretty confident in that.
So if all that falls out as we expect it to, in the end, your tax bill will be more or less the same as it is now, even though the value of your home has increased on average 67%.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay. Yep.
How does the appeals process work? What happens?
So the first step is the informal appeals. That'll happen between right now and June 1st. That's when you just call the office and say, hey, I want to question my appraisal. And, the first question they're going to ask you is, what do you think it's worth? Because you need to know what type of value you think the property has. So you'll go through that process. If you can't get relief through the informal process, then you ask for an appointment with the County Board of Equalization. And the County Board of Equalization will go into session on June 1st, and they will meet until the end of the complaints.
As long as they need to meet to
well,
get through them all.
Right? And the key is on that, your deadline to make an appointment with them is June 14th. So there has to be a definitive end to that county board.
Otherwise, they'd be sitting for 5 years.
They would
right?
be sitting forever. That's right. So June 14th will be your deadline to set that appointment. And the county board is made up of 5 citizens, no county commissioners. And they hear each case one by one. They'll hear commercial cases, and they'll hear the citizens' cases.
So it's not just residential property that has been reappraised; it's commercial property as well.
Yes, sir.
Okay. All right, so folks, if you haven't received that, I believe they go out in batches. I don't think everyone gets them all on the same day, right?
Yeah, but they all should be out by now.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right, so folks, check your mailbox if you haven't seen the letter from the Sumner County. And remember, folks, as I said, right on big letters on the top of the page, this is not a tax bill.
Yes.
I have heard some people that have thought, oh, my gosh, I have a new bill that I wasn't expecting.
Please take a deep breath.
It is not. It is, at this point, it is for your information.
Right.
For your information. All right. Well, thanks for that, because I know that's been on the mind of a lot of folks that I've talked to. Folks, we're doing something a little new on the show this week. All the questions I'm asking our guests have come from listeners to the show. I've basically reached out and said, hey, what do you want me to ask the mayor? And one of the very first things that people said was, I want to know about property tax assessment. So, all right. Well, let's move on to hopefully, you know, less exciting things, maybe more exciting things. We mentioned the county commission a couple of times, and this is a new group that has been in since, well, it'll be 2 years come August, I guess, right?
Mm-hmm.
So coming up on 2 years. A lot of new folks. A group dominated by the Sumner County Constitutional Republicans, and they've made some noise. They have made some noise. One of our listeners asked basically whether you think that it is possible to effectively, basically, that the executive and the legislative branches of government can work together effectively to get things done, given the commission that we're dealing with right now.
Yeah, and you know that's a complex question, and you know, my job, people ask me what's your job, and my job, in my opinion, is building relationships. And so with this commission, it's been my focus to build relationships individually. Some I've been successful with, some I haven't. There's a lot of people that I have good relationships now that didn't vote for me for county mayor. There's some that voted for me for county mayor that I don't have good relationships with.
Right.
And so it's just important that I try to foster relationships one-on-one. And I think with this commission, as they came in as a voting block,
right,
a very strong voting block, I think as we see in time, that starts to dwindle. And I think that is in large part due to building relationships with individuals. And that's what I'm going to continue to do. I want to value each person and their opinion on that commission, whether I always agree with them or not. It doesn't matter. What matters is building that relationship, because every issue has to stand on its own. And we need to have a group that will not get caught up in groupthink.
Right. Problem of groupthink, yes.
Yes. And if we can get away from that groupthink syndrome and let people think on their own, I think we're going to start seeing the county move forward in a more productive manner. Right now, it's so many areas have devolved into chaos,
right,
and instability. And that's just what we've got. We've got to get things stabilized and moving forward.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. I guess hopefully some of them are learning that there's a difference between campaigning and governing. Right? And anyone who's been through that process probably has, you know, learned that lesson at some point, right?
Right. Well, and after I won the primary, I did a fundraiser, and the title of my speech, because I saw this coming through the primary results,
sure. Mm-hmm.
I did a fundraiser, and my talk was titled Grenades to Governance. And so you know, during the political process, during the campaign process, is all about throwing grenades.
Right.
You know, it's rare that we really have time to talk policy positions and stuff like that. We don't have debates really anymore. We'll have forums, and they're really low-key, so it's difficult to get that message out. But once you're elected, you have to transition from grenades to governance, and that's probably been a difficult transition for some of them.
Mm-hmm.
They still seem to be in that grenade launch mode.
Right. And some of them are pretty good at making grenades.
Some of them are very good at it.
I've, I got to congratulate myself on my politeness so far.
Well, listen, civility is the best thing, and laughter is even better than that sometimes.
Does this, I mean, you know, in regards to just your day-to-day job, you know, in the building, does this chaos, does it sort of affect you directly on a daily basis, or is it more, you know, during the commission meetings and as a result of?
You know, it's over the years, it's been sort of a running joke of just how thick my skin is. It really rolls off.
Okay.
You know, I really separate personality from policy. So, yeah.
Gotcha. All right. Well, folks, we're going to take our second break right now, but when we come back, we're going to talk about boards. We've got library boards. We've got election commissions. We've got all sorts of boards to talk about. You're listening to Mayor John Isbell here with us on the Loyal Opposition on WQKR. We'll be right back.
CEMC members, did you know CEMC now has an app? If you live in the CEMC service area, you can pay your bill, view daily usage, check your billing history, and more, all from your smartphone. Download the app today. It's easy. Just search for Smart Hub, all one word, in the Apple App or Google Play stores. For additional information, visit our website at CEMC.org and click on My Account. Cumberland Electric Membership Corporation, proudly serving our members since 1938.
Enjoy a harvest of values at Steve Austin Music at 115 Main Street in downtown Portland. With 25 years in business, they are gearing up for the best holidays ever. New merchandise arriving daily, so must clear out the old to make space for the new. Best values ever on fiddles, banjos, guitars, and band instruments. Special delivery with purchase of a piano. Layaway is available. Open Monday, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday, 11 a.m. through 5 p.m., Saturday, noon to 4. Call 615-323-0701 or stop by Steve Austin Music at 115 Main Street in Portland, Tennessee for small town service, values, and the best of everything.
Now you can join Planet Fitness and get the PF Black Card for zero enrollment, $24.99 a month, and get all the perks.
I love perks.
Do you love having access to 2,000 plus locations?
Yes.
Bringing a friend every time?
Hashtag friend goals.
And recovering with massage chairs?
Who doesn't?
Get the PF Black Card and feel fitacular. Zero enrollment, $24.99 a month. See club for details.
Worry about the weather? Want to know when a bad storm is on the way? Even a tornado? If you're a resident of Portland, you can sign up for the Code Red Weather Alert Program, a free service of the City of Portland. Once you sign up, you'll get emergency messages by telephone or email whenever there's an emergency, including evacuation notices, weather, bioterrorism alerts. To sign up, just go to the City of Portland website, www.cityofportlandtn.gov, or call City Hall at 325-6776.
Welcome back, everybody. You're listening to the Loyal Opposition here on WQKR. I'm your host, Len Asante, and it is 5:33 p.m., 69 degrees and sunny in Portland, Tennessee. Going down to 51 tonight, partly cloudy, high of 71 and low of 43 for tomorrow. Hope everyone's having a safe commute home. We are speaking with Sumner County Mayor John Isbell. And again, thank you, Mayor, for taking some time out of your schedule to come on up here to the northern part of our fine county.
Absolutely.
You know, one of the things we were talking about over the break was, folks, the college here in town, Ball State in Gallatin, is hiring a new president. And one of the candidates was saying today that he fell in love with Sumner County because he's got a family member who lives here. And Mayor Isbell was saying, yeah, you hear that story a lot. You do, don't you?
I do. I do. We've got a great community called home.
And it's some great people here and some great natural beauty here. And it's a great place to live, and that means people want to come. And when people want to come, then we have some challenges sometimes, don't we? And we will get to those challenges. But before that, a challenge that seems to be working its way through the system is the Election Commission. And there's a lawsuit out between the Election Commission and the County Commission. And there have been some recent developments there. I was wondering if you could catch up our listeners on a little bit of the backstory and where we stand currently.
Sure. So there was a lawsuit filed by the Election Commission against the Board of Commissioners, as well as myself. The Board of Commissioners decided that I needed to be separated from that and for me to get my own attorney. So we've gone through that legal process. A ruling came from Judge Oliver, Chancellor Oliver, and that decision was appealed, or should I say permission to appeal, with the Court of Appeals. And the Court of Appeals denied that permission. So long story short, we are ordered by the Chancellor to sit down as a group. That's the Board of Commissioners, the Election Commission, and myself, and work out the problem in a civil manner.
All right, so you're going to get three entities down at the table, the County Commissioner, the Election Commission, the County Commission, the Election Commission, and you, and we're going to figure out where to store all these voting machines, right?
That is correct. We currently have them in a location, and it was a plan that was executed before I became county mayor, and I was just carrying through with that plan because I viewed the space, other spaces that we may have available, but in my opinion, none of them were working. So I saw this as the best move for the Election Commission.
There are some specific requirements that are set out in law about how these machines are stored and secured.
Absolutely. Homeland Security has very strict rules, and we have to maintain election integrity. And that has a lot to do with the storage of those voting machines and who has access to them.
And these new machines, I got to say, just as a quick aside, I like the new machines. I used them this first time this last election. I know many Sumner County residents chose not to use them in this last election. But those of us who did, I think, had a positive experience. We got a built-in paper trail in there now, I see, and I think they're a little bit more intuitive and easy to use. So I'm glad we got the machines.
Yep. Yeah, I just wish more people would try them out.
Exactly. I hope your curiosity gets the best of you folks, and the next time an election comes up, and, well, this is one of those years when we got a lot of elections.
August will be your first opportunity, and certainly encourage you to go by and try the new machines.
Yeah, I think, at least for me personally, the new machines were a little quicker than the old machines. A little bit easier to use, so take a little less time. I think that's a good thing. All right, well, sitting down with the county commission and reaching a compromise or a consensus with the county commission seems like it might be a difficult task. You think you're up to the leadership challenge?
I think so. I think it's going to be an opportunity for us to sit down and have productive conversation. And I think they're going to be reasonable. I'm going to remain hopeful, optimistic, and let's just see where it goes.
Is there any kind of, has the judge set any kind of deadline for when this has to happen by?
No, not really. I really don't want to speculate, but I would think that his patience would grow weary pretty quick. Okay. if we argue too much.
Especially with another election coming up in August, actually. Sounds far away, but isn't really all that far away.
Early
voting would be starting in mid-July then, right?
I really don't anticipate, in all fairness, I don't anticipate doing any type of move till after the presidential election.
Gotcha.
I don't want to do anything. I would not advocate for a move, even if we all agreed upon it, until after the presidential election. We need as much stability as we can.
Right. Elections are important. Election integrity is important. And voting in elections. So get out and use those machines, folks. Okay. Let's see. Another board we've got going on. Library board has been interesting here. I got to say, one of the things that the new county commission has done for me personally has exposed to me the fact that we've got all these boards out there that were never really kind of particularly, you know, they kind of flew under the radar, you know. People ran the libraries, people ran the elections, right, and didn't seem to be very political. But now everything is political. So now we've got some vacancies on the library board, and we've got an interesting process for determining who gets to serve on the library board. Where are things standing with that?
Well, it's you know, the criteria that's being placed, and I think probably the problem with that is that we're just not entertaining all the citizens that may be interested in serving.
Yes.
You know, if we've got these vacancies, let's put some of those other names out there. You know, I don't know all of the people that applied for it. I haven't looked at it.
Did you know I applied?
Oh, really?
Yeah.
That's interesting.
I don't expect to be interviewed or to get the position, but I thought I would throw my hat in just to see if I would get a call or something.
Well, and I think as a citizen, you have every right to throw your name in the hat and for consideration. But I will tell you that, you know, in addition to the library board, and I do hope they bring some stability, because what it does is if they can bring stability to a good working board, then that brings stability to our library directors, and they feel more confident in their job and being able to execute programs within the library.
Right. It seems like our library directors are constantly looking over their shoulders these days, and every book they bring in or every program they think of is like, well, what are certain county commissioners going to think about this, right? And that's probably not an effective way to operate a library.
Yeah.
It
really isn't. And I do understand that we do have to have criteria for what's coming in and out of libraries, but we need to do that in a civil and productive manner. Moving past the library board, because I think this is probably, if not more important, just as important, is our planning commission. Because a lot of planning that's going on out in the county right now, and I've stood before this planning commission and have told them that they are effectively operating illegally as a board. And the reason being is that they have more county commissioners on that board than they do citizens. And the premise of these boards really is to be citizen-run, not commission heavy.
Mm-hmm.
And this new commission came in and revamped tourism board to be heavy on commissioners.
Yeah, that's another one.
We can talk about that after planning commission. But same thing with the planning commission, that it's heavy on commissioners now. But what they're doing is they're operating illegally. Now, I have put forth several qualified good candidates that just want to serve our community, but now I've been given criteria for people to serve on the planning commission. You know, a banker is not allowed to serve on a county commission. A builder is not allowed. A construction engineer is not allowed. A developer is not allowed. An insurance agent that sells insurance to homeowners, not allowed. All of this falls under the building industry. None of these people are allowed to serve on the planning commission, according to our chairman of committee on committees.
Okay, this is not, you're not saying this is what state law is. This is what the chairman of the committee on committees is saying.
This is internal.
Okay. Now, according to how the law works, from my understanding, and please correct me if I'm wrong, is that you, as the county mayor, have the ability to put up a name or names. And then the county commission votes. Is that how it's
correct?
Okay.
Yep.
Okay. But what you're saying is that they are saying, well, the people you put up can't be any of these groups of people.
Well, it's on record that they can't be part of this.
And I would guess real estate agents are probably on that list.
Real estate agents, which, you know, ironically, is one of the members of the planning commission is a real estate agent. But no other real estate agents are allowed to be on there.
Okay, only one.
Only one.
Okay.
So these are things, you know, these are things that fundamentally I have a problem with because it's hypocritical.
But it's kind of like, I don't know, hiring a fire commissioner that doesn't know anything about fires, right? I mean, I understand, you know, the pro-growth tilt argument you could make, but on the other hand, you kind of do want people who know what they're talking about.
Yeah, you want a good mix of citizens, okay? I'm not advocating putting developers to run the
right. All developers, all realtors.
That's,
oh yeah, sure.
And you can see from the people that I have submitted are not all developers. So I've proposed a good mix of people, and I'm going to propose a couple of more, hopefully in the next month. I'm interviewing, talking to them now, and hopefully we'll have some more. But until then, this planning commission's operating illegally.
Oh, and they're continuing to meet.
And they're continuing to meet.
Okay. And so it could be that any decisions they make while they're operating illegally could be subject to court scrutiny if someone was to sue.
Absolutely.
Wow.
And will be subject to court scrutiny.
Will be subject. Sure. Absolutely. Okay. The way the county commission is structured, it seems like the chairman of the committee on committees is a pretty powerful position.
It is. And, you know, if you stack the committee with your votes, it can be a very powerful mm-hmm. position when it comes to committee appointments.
Sure.
You know, but all of them have a certain amount of power within their realm. General ops, you know, they control building programs. Stuff like that, so they can boondoggle a building program in a heartbeat. You go to the budget committee, you know, our budget chairman, they can tank a budget in a heartbeat.
Right.
So any
right.
one of these have the propensity to do some serious damage.
And we are required by state law to have a budget every year, right?
Absolutely.
Okay. So we're going to have a budget.
And let me qualify what I just said, because our budget chairman's doing a yeoman's work. Matt's doing a great job running a budget. It's very difficult. Running budget committee is very difficult. But I do want to commend Matt on doing a good budget job.
Okay. All right. Excellent. Thanks. Actually, folks, it's time for our last break. We'll be right back in a couple minutes with a little bit more with Mayor John Isbell. You're listening to The Loyal Opposition on WQKR.
D.T. McCall & Sons, your one-stop neighborhood superstore for appliances and furniture. Stop by today at 1220 Scottsville Road in Lafayette, Tennessee. You can choose a Samsung gallery package for only $29.99. Includes a refrigerator, dishwasher, range, and microwave. Electrolux stackable washer and dryer for $14.99. Check out the large selection of Lazy Boy recliners in lots of styles and colors. Prices ranging from $439 and up. Lazy Boy reclining sofa, $13.99. Need a new bedroom suit? Select a dresser, mirror, chest, and queen bed for only $1,099. Free delivery and recycling within 125 miles of Carthage, Tennessee. 0% interest for 12 months through First Heritage. D.T. McCall & Sons, located at 1220 Scottsville Road in Lafayette, Tennessee. Hey!
Why choose the Farmers Bank? We've been serving our community since 1912, and we still manage our business locally. This means that when you need banking services or a loan, we don't let a computer or someone thousands of miles away make our decisions. We make decisions locally. We visit with you in person. We shake your hand. We get to know you and your family. The Farmers Bank is a community bank built on trust and quality customer care and service. Visit us at any of our 11 area locations or online at thefarmersbank.net to see the Farmers Bank difference. Equal housing lender, member FDIC.
Ask any Portland Panther football player. Bumps and bruises are a part of the game, and sometimes the injuries are more serious and require physical therapy. New Life Physical Therapy, 705 South Broadway in Portland, is the official PT sponsor of Portland High School and Middle School football and is ready to be yours too. Create a new you with a visit to New Life Physical Therapy, 705 South Broadway in Portland. Call for an appointment today, 615-325-9007. When you need physical therapy, New Life will help you start feeling great again. This area's best Mexican food is now easier to find than ever before. A great Mexican meal awaits you at three convenient locations now instead of just two. Señor Fajitas Mexican Kitchen has a new location in Elk Grove, as well as Portland, and people are raving about their dinners and lunches. Tacos, burritos, fajitas, chimichangas, enchiladas, all the foods you love, done right and delicious every time. With chicken, beef, pork, even vegetarian entrees at Señor Fajitas, delicious sides, your favorite beverages, and great desserts. And now Señor Fajitas has three convenient locations, all just minutes away from where you live. 148 West Knight Street in downtown Portland, 123 Fairfield Road in Oak Grove, 1209 East Church Street in Orlando. Just minutes away from almost anywhere in Sumner County, you'll find Señor Fajitas and fine Mexican dining. Taco Tuesday, Fajitas Friday, but you never really need a reason to visit Señor Fajitas, just the opportunity to enjoy a good meal. Señor Fajitas, proudly presenting their newest location in Oak Grove.
Welcome back, everyone. You are listening to The Loyal Opposition here on WQKR with your host, Len Asante, Roger on the board, and Mayor Isbell in the guest chair of honor. Okay, 69 degrees at 551, going down to 48 tonight. Hope everyone's having a safe ride home. Well, Mayor, we've been talking about a lot of different commissions and groups and boards. We haven't mentioned tourism. Let's talk tourism. We have a tourism board in Sumner County, another one of those that have kind of flown under the radar until recent years.
Yeah, you're right. It has been pretty civil up until recently. Unfortunately, we have lost our second tourism director. She took a position in another state, and with her left the most of the tourism department. This tourism board, who was recently reconstituted, they kicked me off the board, and so I no longer have a voice. I'm ex officio, so to speak. I can sit over there in the corner and listen,
right?
But they don't want any guidance or direction from the mayor. So it has become chaotic. Again, this is a board that was citizen led, and now has become commissioner heavy. And I think once you become commissioner heavy with this commission, I think it's created some instability with the day-to-day operations, and that's unfortunate.
Yeah, absolutely. I don't know if you know any of the numbers off the top of your head, but tourism is a pretty big economic impact in this county, doesn't it?
It is a very big economic driver for Sumner County. It's one that we need to focus on. We've done so good over the past few years, and I just hate to see it slip. And we'll see. I mean, we'll see how they handle the departure of Zoe. We'll see how they handle the departure of Kelly and the two newest employees. We'll see what direction they take as well.
We lost a lot of institutional knowledge with the loss of our last two directors, didn't we?
We did.
Decades.
Yeah, absolutely. And Kelly was an 18-year employee. She was executive assistant.
Right, she was, right, Barry's assistant.
But that's the glue that holds everything together.
There are still people out there in Sumner County who think Barry Young brought us the eclipse back in 2017.
Oh, Barry.
Okay, so, you know, I guess if like I said earlier, I think this is worth repeating. You know, one of the things this county commission has done, I guess inadvertently, so is kind of, you know, woken up a lot of people to, you know, exactly kind of how the county works, the importance of these groups of people, these boards, right? Tourism, economic development, planning. We haven't even talked about industrial development, the industrial development board. It really is, in many ways, it is at least designed to be a citizen-guided government.
Yeah, I've always said that local government should be citizen-led. But I think you probably, if you want to pull something positive out of all this, is that it's awakened the citizens. The citizens are starting to get more engaged. I hear more from citizens, plus and minus. But this has awakened the citizens, which I think is very important.
That is very important. I would say the especially we've got in Gallatin in August, we've got some city council races that the political activist group is looking at to try and take over the Gallatin City Council. And, of course, we have what's going on in Millersville. Right? And I've heard that there are people in Millersville who are citizens, people who live there, who are wondering what the heck's going on with their local government, right? So maybe more of those folks will get out and vote in their next election as well.
And I certainly hope so.
That would be for the better.
Yes.
Would be for the better. All right, Mayor, it's been great having you. I really appreciate you taking the time to come on up here and speak with us today. I know you've got a lot of things to do and a lot of places to be, and I personally appreciate it, and I'm sure our listeners do. Thank you so much for being here.
Yes, sir.
Folks, we are just about done for another week. Next up is Triple Play Sports, and I believe they are going to be live from Planet Fitness today. Yep, Roger's nodding his head, so stay tuned from that. The NFL draft starts tomorrow. The Titans will be on the clock with the number 7 pick, so I'm sure you're going to hear a lot about that on the show. If anyone cares, I hope they pick Joe Alt if he's available. I think we need a left defensive tackle, and I heard an interview with him today, and I was very impressed. So go Titans. Next week, I'll be back with an exclusive talk with Chelsea Norman with an organization called Rise Wins. This is another in our occasional series on women-owned businesses in Middle Tennessee. So don't forget to join us every Friday at 5 p.m. for the other half of the story. Good night, and we'll talk to you next week.
At the Law Office of Amanda J. Gentry, we are committed to defending your rights. Being arrested doesn't have to be the worst day of your life. Being served with custody paperwork doesn't have to be the worst day of your life. It may feel that way, but if you have Amanda J. Gentry representing you, you can feel confident that you're going to have the best quality representation in all of Middle Tennessee. Amanda J. Gentry goes wherever justice demands. 615-604-6263. AmandaJGentry.com.
Portland's only locally owned hometown pharmacy is Portland Prescription Shop, 705 South Broadway. With a convenient location, convenient hours, and a free delivery service for all local residents. Open Monday through Friday from 8:30 until 5:30 and Saturday 8:30 till 1, Portland Prescription Shop accepts all insurance plans. A big selection of over-the-counter non-prescription medications and sundries. And a $1 and $2 section with a big selection of items at super-saving prices. Locally owned and operated, Mike and the friendly staff are looking forward to helping you with all of your pharmacy and medical needs. COVID home testing kits are available at Portland Prescription Shop, 705 South Broadway. Hometown service, convenience, and free local delivery. Shop the new Postal Annex at Portland Prescription Shop, offering U.S. Postal Service, FedEx, and UPS mailing and shipping. Whether you're on your way to work in the morning and looking to grab a quick breakfast, or lunch break and wanting something good and hot and quick, or just hungry and not sure what you want, the one place you can always find what will work for you is Kirby Stop Market, 905 North Broadway in Portland. They're open 24 hours a day, offer both takeout and Grubhub delivery service, and have the biggest selection of fast food of anyone in the area. Fast food or home-cooked meals, meat and two sides for just $6.49. Delicious Godfather's pizza, 3 for $13.99. Fried chicken, chicken strips, livers and gizzards, hot, barbecued and crispy wings, fish, potato wedges, onion rings, the biggest and best selection anywhere and always hot and ready to go. Plus, everything else you want or need from a truly convenient convenience store. Kirby Stop Market, 905 North Broadway in Portland. Get what you want when you want it. Pick it up or have it delivered by Grubhub. Kirby Stop Market, 615-323-9098.
Sumner Regional Medical Center believes that every person has the right to dignity, respect,